So I want to talk tonight a little bit about synchronizing with Jesus and the Father. There's three verses that I want to focus and will direct where I want to go with tonight's sharing with you. So the first one is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And in the New King James Version, it reads the familiar one, I think, to a lot of us. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I really like the Amplified. It brings out some interesting enlargement of that understanding of that scripture verse. And all of us, with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, constantly being transfigured into His own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And the last one is Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. The emphasis tonight is having ourselves become more and more like Jesus and more like the Father. And the Lord's just really been opening up some interesting connections to some of the things we're learning about how our brain works, how our heart works, and the scripture verses that just confirm that, and I believe that it's what Father is trying to tell us through these scripture verses specifically about being transformed more and more into His image. And another way of saying that, the way I'm saying it, is synchronizing yourself with Jesus and the Father. Mm-hmm. And I just like in the Amplified of 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we continue to behold. It's not just a one-time beholding, but it's the continued beholding. It's the tense of the Greek verb there that's really significant. It's not something we just do and move on to something else, but something we need to keep coming back to and continually beholding. And that's what these soaking times are all about, is you being having another opportunity to continue to behold the Father. We heard something today that really strikes to this very thing. He was talking on meditation. And he said, we haven't really moved into a meditative state until we see something in with our image maker and our vision aside. When we really are meditating on something, we're seeing it. When it's not just something we're mentally trying to bring in, but we're actually seeing something happen. It goes right along with the Hebrew and the whole idea of how we read with our heart rather than reading with our head and just our mind. We read looking at for the images. We read seeing ourselves in the story. We read with trying to know the author, know the intent of the author. Why was he saying what he was saying? Why did he say it the way he did? Why is it so important that it was included in the scriptures? So we begin to read with our heart. We begin to get in touch with the one who wrote it, the author. And one of the ways that we've heard it said is that there's more in the white on the pages than there is in the black. The black letters tell us something, but the things that go beyond those words and sentences tell us even more. And that's reading with your heart. That's getting your heart involved in what's being said. And the next verb is even more significant, where it says constantly being transfigured into His own image. It's not something that takes place once and you're transformed, but we're constantly being transformed. We're constantly getting more and more like Jesus and more like the Father. And in ever-increasing splendor and with one degree of glory to another, I mean, that's just over the top. As we are constantly being transformed, we're getting more and more glorious in the amount of the glory that's in us and the amount and splendor of everything that's taking place. And I believe that's what face-to-face encounters of meditation, intimacy, reading from the heart, listening with the heart, communicating with the heart, all those things that are creating images, that are creating a visual stimulus in our inside of us that are transforming us into more and more the image of the Father. And I believe the Father made us this way because he was expecting us to spend a lot of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was expecting us to have a lot of intimate time with him. And as doing that, we would begin to synchronize. We begin to get in the same mode of heart, the same mode of thinking, the same mode of loving and being, everything being in synchronization and in harmony with the Father and with Jesus. And even in 1 John 4:7, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, in order to become as he is, we have to get ourselves in synchronization with him. We have to get ourselves running, moving in the same direction and experiencing him for ourselves. And the Father has created our brain and our heart to help us do that. And this is just really amazing. There's more and more science being discovered about how our brain works, following the signals of where they're being transmitted and recorded in the synapses and the neurons and the parts of our brain that are storing all this information, storing all this data, all these emotions and feelings and beliefs and everything else. They're all being stored in these neurons that are actually changing as the information comes in, and they're actually creating more synapses and stuff to, so that they can hold all the data that's coming in. It's just amazing. They actually see them multiplying. That's what the brain makes itself available to store all that information. So the Father wanted us to become just like him. And I don't know about you, but I know several people, and I've listened to people speak that have really impacted me, because I just felt like they really were one with the Father, that they just had that love. They just had that compassion. They just had that anointing on them that you would think, wow, this person is so different than everybody else. One of those, a friend of ours, John J. Seelan, I think maybe some of you have heard us talk about before. He came from India and had quite a testimony of his own, but you just get around him and you just sense the love. He doesn't have to see you and say anything. You just pick up on it, that he's been with the Father. And what we found out is that a while back, the Father said, I want you to get up at 3 o'clock. He woke him up the first time, and he says, I want you to be up at 3 o'clock and spend time with me. And so every day now, he gets up at 3 o'clock and spends 3 to 4 hours in the morning with the Father, and you can tell the difference. And he has a powerful ministry. He sees miracles. He has words of knowledge. He sees healings take place. I mean, it's just all the anointing and all the power, and yet all the love of the Father is with him, because he's spent that time synchronizing himself with the Father in his presence, beholding his face. And we were talking kind of jokingly about coming back glowing with the glory of the Lord, and that's what happened to Moses. He went up on the mountain, spent some time face to face with the Father, synchronizing with him, and the glory came on him,
mm-hmm.
just as it was on the Father. And he comes down, and everybody can see and tell a difference. And another one that always struck me was T.L. Osborne. If you've ever heard him or his wife, they're both gone now. But every time I listened to him, you could just feel the love. You could just sense the love in his words and just the way he shared them and what he said. And another one is Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin. You just hear them or see them, and you just feel like you want to just give them a big hug, because they're just, you think that they probably ooze out love if you squeezed them too hard. And I remember Kenneth Hagin saying, but he spent a lot of time in that one-to-one fellowship and intimacy with the Father. And he said, sometimes I would get so far over into the kingdom and being with the Father, I wasn't sure I'd be able to get back in my own body. So he was just one with the Father that much, and he was synchronizing himself with the Father, and it showed up in his daily life, and not the amazing miracles and things that took place through these men. But all of them have a similar storyline in the fact that they all spent hours, not just 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening or something, but hours a day, and I haven't gotten there yet. The Lord is just really dealing with me. I want you to spend more time with me, and maybe I'll have to end up doing what John J. Seelen does and get up earlier in the morning in order to do that. But I want to start having more intimate fellowship with the Father. It's just something that is on my heart, even though my head keeps saying, how am I going to do that? And how is that possible? But tonight, you know, believing that everybody here can have an opportunity to have some more of that one-on-one time with the Father and let Him impact their lives. So we've been learning a little bit more about the brain and some of the ways that it works. And a lot of this heart synchronization that we've been exposed to, it came out of counselors working with severely traumatized people that have gone through satanic ritual abuse, or they have gone through dissociated identity disorder, where they have like two or three different identities, that the heart has actually just been broken apart. And in fact, in satanic ritual abuse, then is their intent, that their full intent is to break the heart up and to be able to control and manipulate the person as a result of that. And they actually put different controlling identity that they put in place in their brain to actually keep them there. You know, it's actually a stronghold that they build into that person through some of the ritual things that they do. Some of the information that we're looking at is about attachment. And they have identified in the brain, it's the right side of the brain where this occurs, and it's called a cingulate cortex, and it's also referred to as a banana. It's a kind of a curved top part of the right side of the brain, and the left eye connects to the right side of the brain. And so when we're really attempting to attach to someone, attempting to synchronize with them, we're looking at the other person's left eye. And we're picking up on the left side of your face. They say, I haven't really spent enough time looking, but they say that you can identify where a person is at emotionally and in their heart by what shows up on the outside on the left side of their face. So the eyes, left eye is looking at the left side of the face and the left eye of the other person, making heart-to-heart contact, because most of the heart contact is with the right side of our brain, where the emotions and feelings and everything else are going on. So this synchronization starts at birth, and the first person that a baby synchronizes with is with its mother. And they say that the first 3 to 6 months is when a baby synchronizes with the mother or the mother image that's playing that role. It may not be the mother. A lot of times the mother give birth, they spend a week or two with the baby, and then they go back to work, and that's the synchronization takes place with some caretaker, you know, some nursery person or someone taking care of the baby. And yet there's this synchronization taking place. That baby becomes one with the person that they're looking into their eyes. The language of a baby is images. So when they are looking at the face of another person, they're seeing an image, and they're communicating through that image because their language is images. They don't know how to speak English or Russian or German or anything else, but they do know how to speak it with images. And so that baby is synchronizing with that person that's taking care of them. And that's why it's so important for the mother, like even with nursing, and she's looking at the baby and the touches and the tone of voice, all that is helping that baby synchronize and attach. It's attachment that you're developing this cingulate cortex to be able to attach and able to have a connection to someone else. And that's why we hear about these orphans, like especially coming from Russia, that have this attachment deficiency or disorder, or ADD, They never had the opportunity to develop that coarse cingulate cortex and ability to attach to someone else. And so they have a difficult time attaching to anyone as a result of that. But this whole synchronization is very significant and important, because that's also how God, Father made us to synchronize with Him and be able to attach with Him. So I think that people who have not had a well-developed attachment development in their early years, I think have a more challenging time attaching to the Father as they get older. The other thing is that they've identified is what they call the joy center. And it's a right prefrontal orbital cortex. And it's located just behind the right eye, and it's called the joy center. And when joyful things happen, that's what part of the brain gets stimulated, and that's where the information is stored. If it's painful, traumatic things that are happening to you, they get stored in the back of your brain. There's a separation between those two. But the joy center is really an important part to have developed in our lives as well. And a mother is very much involved in helping a child learn how to return to joy. Because one of the things that we all need to be able to do when something difficult or painful or traumatic happens, if our joy center is strong, we're able to deal with that emotion in a positive, healthy way and come to some positive resolution. But if nobody's ever helped us develop or strengthen our joy center, we may have a difficult time, even though the event that took place wasn't maybe that painful or that bad. We don't have any joy to know how to deal with it, and so that memory is taken back and stored in another part of the brain and becomes a negative cellular memory that can affect us negatively at a later time. So we need to have that joy center stimulated from a very young age. And one of the first things as a baby, you can start to develop that joy center. Most women, especially when they see a little baby, they are pleased to see them. They're excited. They're wow, look at this little baby. And they just pick them up and they talk to them and they love them and rub their face on their soft skin and rub their hands on their cheeks. And they just, and the baby's joy center is being strengthened, because any time that we receive and know that someone is excited to see us or glad to see us, that there's positive signals being deposited in that joy center on the right side of our brain, and it's strengthening that joy center. And we also strengthen that joy center when we think about positive things in our life and have positive things happen to us, and we have interactions with other people. And that's why community is so important. That's why it's important not to withdraw. You see, the enemy's trying to stop us from having our joy center developed by having us disengage with people, trying to live in isolation like I did for quite a few years growing up because of the decisions I made and the pain that was in my heart. And yet, this community also helps build a joy center. Every time we're around somebody that's pleased to be with us, that we have some feeling inside of us that we have a place in that other person's heart, it deposits joy. It strengthens that joy center. And fortunately, that part of our brain is a part that can be strengthened at any time for the rest of our lives. It's a part that can grow, and we can improve on what's happened. And I just wanted to read one statement out of the one book that we've been looking at that just kind of reinforces this. Because having enough joy strength is fundamental to a person's well-being. We now know that the joy center exists in the right orbital frontal cortex of the brain. It has executive control over the entire emotional system. Now that's pretty significant right there. That's why we're able to deal with difficult emotional situations and events in our lives if our joy center is strong. When the joy center has been sufficiently developed, it regulates emotions, pain control, and the immunity centers. You can be healthier, just your whole physical body is healthier if you have a strong joy center. It guides us to act like ourselves, rather than some imposter or self being totally shut down and hidden and not even able to come forth, which is something we're learning about with heart sinking. releases the neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. And dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps us bond with other people. And they said that when a mother is nursing their baby, her body releases dopamine, which helps her bond to that baby. And when positive things are happening in our joy center, we're also releasing dopamine. And so you can bond with another person. You can bond with your spouse. And when your spouse is pleased to be with you, that builds a strengthening of bond. And you bond with friends by the joy responses and the joy center stimulating the release of dopamine. And the serotonin is for the attachment. When our cingulate cortex is stimulated and the attachment and synchronization is strengthening, serotonin is released. And amazingly, we've heard that dopamine and serotonin are two chemicals that help people who are like in depression or are dealing with something difficult time in their life. They give them higher levels of dopamine or serotonin. And it's the only part of the brain that overrides the main drive centers of food, sexual impulses, terror, and rage. That's pretty amazing what the joy center does for us. So we can all develop our joy center. There's a teaching out, it's called the Life Model, and the associated book that goes with this, there's a guy who developed a whole manual, so you takes you a year, and it all is focused on helping you develop your joy center. And there's different ways to work by yourself or with other people, especially, really, the joy center is mostly strengthened by our interaction with other people, to strengthen our joy center so that we can have the emotional control that we need and not allow ourselves to spin out of control with, like, panic attacks and depression and having to have professional help to get us back to normal again. So one of the things that we can do is through appreciation. Appreciation releases dopamine and builds our bonding with someone else. And that expression of appreciation for someone else, you can do that with your spouse, you can do that with a friend, you can do that with your Heavenly Father or Jesus. It's just verbal expressions of your appreciation. I appreciate Jesus for all you did for me, for going to the cross. I appreciate you for taking all my sins and cleansing me. I appreciate you, Father, for loving me. This is expressions of appreciation. You'll find yourself being drawn. You'll find yourself bonding and strengthening that bond with whoever you're showing appreciation to. Sue started doing that with me when we were working in a difficult time in our relationship. She just started writing down all the things she appreciated about me and all the positive things she saw.
I bet that was a long list, too.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Even though I was not acting like it at the time. And thinking about times when you've had positive experiences with Jesus or the Heavenly Father or the Holy Spirit, things that have really brought joy or good feelings or something to you, just allow yourself to revisit those and develop those and ask the Father to show you more about those times when you had a special experience with the Father. Maybe there's been some even people have expressed here at the soaking times, those experiences can help build that bonding and that synchronization with Jesus of the Father. And reading the Word from your heart, like I was saying, allowing the experiencing of the Father and experiencing the Word and the images. So I want to just encourage everybody to allow yourself to go there tonight and begin to work on developing your joy center and strengthening your synchronization and your bonding with the Father and with Jesus or the Holy Spirit, whatever you feel the most comfortable with. And let yourself continue to go in a greater and greater levels of that and strengthening your joy center so that you can experience all the Father has for you.